All right. Well, welcome everyone tonight. Midweek prayer meeting service, as they've called them from times gone by. And I tell you, middle of the week, that's that hump you got to get over. And sometimes you just really need to get plugged in and pray and get a word from the Lord. And so that's why we have midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. And so good to see everybody tonight. Everybody had a good week so far? Devil left you alone? Some yes, some no. I know this isn't scripture. At least I've tried to find it in scripture. I heard it said before. The devil wastes no arrows. The truth is there in scripture. But he wastes no arrows. He is pulling out everything he has. Today has been an eventful day. We won't go into all that. All I know is we made it here right on time, and excited about the service tonight. And but anyway, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. So there is nothing to fear tonight if the Lord Jesus is living on the inside of us. And we'll go ahead and get started this evening. Brother Jeff is not going to be here tonight. He's been so faithful to play the guitar for us and harmonica and sing. But he's away on a little fishing trip. Is it with family, friends, by himself? By himself. Wow. What a guy. Down south fishing on the river. Man, oh man. Well, I hope he catches a river monster. That'd be great. But hey, we'll pray for him tonight for protection and safety, that he'll just have a great time. And so let's remember Brother Jeff tonight. Let's also remember Miss Nancy, Sister Nancy, Brother Bobby McClendon. They went out of town last week. I believe it was on Saturday morning. And by Saturday night, Miss Nancy had the flu. And so they woke up Saturday night, Sunday morning, and came home. And she went to the immediate care, and they confirmed she had the flu. She's doing better today, but Bobby went on in. He has the flu. Not COVID, but the flu. And he's been in the bed all day, not feeling good. So I told Miss Nancy that, of course, been praying for this week and him, but said that we would lift them up tonight in prayer. So let's remember the McClendons tonight. Let's remember Miss Claudia Darby as she continues to get rid of whatever's in her throat with her, I think it's more so in her lungs, the thing that she, it's her lungs. And but let's remember her in prayer as she gets that cleared up. And of course the Bendys, Brother Michael is waiting on a call back from a new job, and Miss Shauna, she has some medical things that she wants us to continue to pray about. And so she just had not long ago another spinal tap, I believe it was, and I don't understand all of that. She shares the measurements and the fluids and all, you know, with me, but I really don't understand that. I guess I need to take the time and ask her about it. But evidently, there's just a bit much spinal fluid on her spine, and it's kind of messing things up, as you know, she shared with us. But let's remember her. Let's remember our children's home and the tree lot. I'm sure they're doing fantastic over there selling the trees. And, of course, Dansby Swanson coming out a week or so ago. And a little side note, nothing spiritual at all about this, but I hope the Braves get them. I think the Cubs may be getting Dansby. They're doing a lot of talking. It's just not going to look right for our Dansby hometown boy to be in a Cubs uniform. But anyway, exciting things over there at the tree lot. Not only the working that's going on, but there's last year at least, they had the bonfire or the big fire pit. Miss Lee Ellen, is that there this year, the fire pit? So it's just a great experience. And so let's continue to remember them as they sell trees through the month of December. Brother Dion Lauder and his knee recovery. Miss Joanne with her knee pain and treatment. James and Shirley Townsend, sure do miss Brother James. Good to see Miss Shirley this past Sunday. And I actually looked back. There was I forgot what they call it on Facebook. Something you posted a year or two ago, and every year it pops up.
Memory.
And I believe it was a memory, or somehow I found it on, of all places, Pleasant Hills stream. But I believe Miss Shirley, Brother James, has been with us right at 4 years, going on 4 years. Time flies. Miss Marianne, you've been here about that long, haven't you? How about that? That is, time is just flying by, isn't it? Let's remember Brother James and Miss Shirley. Brother Alan Clayton, as he continues to get better. Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Brother Harold. Don and Carla Rich. We mentioned Bobby and Nancy. Just continue to remember them. And their daughter, Kelly and Tanner. Richard Martin. Miss Marianne with her upcoming knee surgery, December 28th. I have that written down at home, but I don't have it here. And so you ready for this?
I go next Tuesday for my pre-op.
All right. Well, we're praying for a successful surgery. C.C. Prestridge, Randy and Diane Ely, the Dailies, Ashworth, Rusty and Chris Watkins. I heard that Miss Chris had a hand surgery. Anybody know anything about that? another social media platform, Instagram. Was it on Facebook? She had her hand all bound up. I'm not really sure what happened, but let's remember her. Melissa Slagle. Our shut-ins, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clinton. The Lord willing, I'm going to go see Miss Jenny on Friday. And that's a long time coming. But remember remember these, McCrickers, Joyce Manning. Just a little side note, if you plan on going to see any of the shut-ins, be careful. Wear a mask if you would like to. The past couple of times I went, I got sick. Not 100% sure if it's from there, but I know a day or two afterwards, wasn't feeling well. And over where Miss Barbara lives, the day I was there, it was very hot. I mean, I was drenched sweat in there. And not a lot of circulation either. And so just remember that. James Tolan Brown, serving in the Marines, Peyton Cochran in the Navy, Kevin Rook, Champion Christian College. All right, we'll open up the floor. Does anyone have a... Thank you. I spoke with Cassie this afternoon. Miss Cassie, her sister-in-law, passed away. Was it today, yesterday? Okay. And they met today for arrangements. I believe she's going to be at Rose Haven in Douglasville. But remember Miss Cassie's family on that. Anyone else? Let's go ahead. Miss Mary? Absolutely. Miss Glenda.
Yeah, I'll continue to remember Alan Barrett. Something as hard, like a shock, get back in the rhythm, but they decided not to do that because of the blood clots.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, it's a tough time. No, Miss Robin is a real emotional right now about it all. Rightfully so. But let's remember Brother Alan Barrett. Anybody else? Ms. Noel? Okay. It's your husband? All right. We will pray for him. Okay. Did someone have a hand up? Brother Travis? Amen. Amen. So we won't dive over into the politics realm, but everybody knows how that went. And, you know, when you vote, it's a personal thing. And so, you know, we're not going to bring it up or anything like that. But I tell you, they were rejoicing last night. They were rejoicing. And I heard them chanting the name. They were saying, "Preach it, Pastor, preach it." And I tell you, God's not pleased with that. He is not pleased with that. And Warnock said that his whole church supported him. And this is the only thing I want to say about it. And backed him up, and they've been through a lot. Of course, he was quoting scripture and stuff. And I'm not putting the man down. I'm just saying that his beliefs are contradictory to the Bible. And he pastors a church, and so we'll leave it there. But it's a scary time. It really is. So let's remember our state and our country. Anybody else? All right. Well, I want to mention right quick Christmas communion. Excuse me. On Christmas Day, Sunday at 11 o'clock. No Sunday school on Christmas, just 11 to 12. We will celebrate the birth of Christ. And we know that, of course, we know that there's family things planned. And some are going to be here the 18th and then the 25th, some are not. And so the plan is on the 18th, we'll have our special choir music. And I want to share this with you right quick, and then we'll stop rambling. But I kind of been trying to get a hold of let me just say it this way. I've always wanted to have a candlelight service. Has anybody ever had a candlelight service? Some have been to some? Well, I've never been a part of that, and I've been pricing these battery-powered tea lights that you see right around in here. And if all goes well, the 18th, that Sunday morning, will be our music. But I like to have a candlelight service that night. And we'll come in, we'll take our place, we'll have a little bit of music. But then we'll all have a candle, of course, and we'll dim the lights. I'll read the Christmas story. And just the illumination of the light in the darkness, I just think it's something I want to experience. And I know you'll enjoy it as well. And, of course, we have our tree of remembrance for all of our loved ones. So have a few things in the mix. But Christmas communion on Christmas and, of course, a Christmas offering. We're going to run the Christmas offering. A couple of people's asked the 18th and the 25th. So remember that. Anything else? I better get to teaching. It's going to be time to go before long. All right, all that would, meet us in the altar for a time of prayer. Pray where you're at. Pray standing up in a corner if you want to. Wherever you're comfortable. Part of our Wednesday night service, that quiet time of prayer. All right, who remembers our study we did? Well, it looks like 4 years ago, almost, on numbers in the Bible, numbers and their meanings. I think we were in Ceylon's classroom next door. We did a study on different numbers in the Bible, not the book of Numbers, but different numbers and what they mean. This was a college course I took back when I was in seminary, and I just fell in love with the study. It's intriguing. When you go reading verses and there's numbers involved and how they all link together, it's just amazing. Really, about God's Word and how He, everything is connected, everything has purpose, every jot, every tittle. It's just an amazing book we have tonight. And so tonight, we're picking one number, and this week I've had the thought of a new beginning on my mind and my heart this week, just about starting over. Starting something new. And so the number eight is the number for new beginnings or new creation. And so what I want to do tonight, of course, classroom style as we did before, just walk through several verses where the number eight is mentioned and it's in connection to a new beginning or a new creation. And again, numbers, it strengthened my faith, and I'm sure it strengthened yours, just to see how closely connected everything is. So tonight, the number eight means new creation or a new beginning. Now, seven is the number for, does anybody know? Completion, perfection. All right. So the number seven is the number for completion, and then the number eight. Of course, this would therefore refer to a new beginning. If something is complete, and then something starts over fresh and new. So the number seven means completion, and then the number eight, and this means a new beginning. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 is where we'll start. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. It's the first place we'll find the number 8. And, of course, this isn't everywhere in the Bible. We're going to mention where the number 8 is at. But 1 Peter chapter number 3, in verse number 20, we're going to see that 8 people began the earth's population after the flood. Of course, mankind was given a new start. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Bible says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. How about that? They were saved by water, meaning they were saved from the water because of the boat. Thank God Noah was obedient and kept the faith. It saved his family. And tonight, as men, being the man of the house and being a husband and a dad, it's so important that we stay strong, we stay steady, and we continue on. Because we have families to lead. But notice something, verse 21. Peter quickly lets the readers know that this isn't salvation. He says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. But then he says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he tells us that baptism, it doesn't save us, it doesn't sanctify us, it doesn't set us apart, it doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. He says in this verse, verse 21, notice the first part, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Let me ask you a question. If my arm right here, if this is the water, all right, the earth is flooded, God said he was going to do it because of the evilness of mankind. And here's the water, and here's the boat on the top of the water. What kind of figure does that look like? What is that symbolic to? What does that look like? It looks like baptism. Looks like someone has got baptized, the ark on top of the water. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Noah's ark on top of that water was proclaiming, of course, everybody was wiped out, but it still was a proclamation that Noah was obedient at the appropriate time. God said, come into the ark. The ark is a picture of Jesus being our Savior, refuge. And so Noah and his family were safe in the ark, proclaiming, although again, everybody was wiped out. It was a proclamation, it was a figure that they obeyed God. He's their refuge. And they now have a new life on land. The like figure, it's really an amazing thing when it comes to verse number 21, what the writer is saying. But verse number 20, down toward the end, he says, 8 souls were saved by water. Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and the 3 wives. They all listened to Noah. When the call was made, come into the ark, and as it were, the drawbridge being let down, and 2 of every kind coming inside. Of course, the sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, they listened, they believed what their dad was doing, they believed the word of God, and they were obedient, and they went in, and their 3 wives. Some of you have been to the ark encounter. Who's been to the ark encounter? I have not, but I heard it's amazing. It really brings to life the ark experience. Maybe one day we'll get over there. And so we see, first of all, tonight that 8 people began the earth's population after the flood. Mankind was given a new start. Turn, if you would, for a moment while we're here. Genesis chapter number 8. Huh, how about that? Genesis 8. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in the Bible. God knows what we're doing. So we see that the waters abated, went down. Chapter number 8, chapter number 9 deals with Noah and his family possessing the earth. It's an amazing thing. He was faithful. He preached. His wife supported him. His sons were faithful. Their wives were faithful to them. And so all of those years building that ark, they went into the ark. And now, as the drawbridge lets down, they walk out onto dry ground. They own everything. That's kind of a picture of heaven. Down here is kind of like we're hard at work with our faith, building a life for God. And then comes the day, whether it's by the grave or, Lord, I pray for the rapture. I pray for the rapture right now. Especially more so than the grave, whether it's by the grave or by the rapture, whenever we meet him over there, we will have an inheritance. We paid the price here. Of course, salvation saved us, but we paid the price here. We served the Lord here, ridiculed, mocked, made fun of here. But guess what? It all pays off over there. Noah, I can imagine, receiving the instructions to build the ark, and Noah, go for wood, and Noah, slime and pitch, and all of these things, just following the Lord as the instructions come out, working hard, 120 years, most believe, that Noah built that ark and preached righteousness to his generation. And so going in and then coming out, can you imagine Noah just lowering the drawbridge? The dove came back with a fig leaf in his mouth. Okay, the waters are gone. They're abated. Dry land. Miles and miles of land for him, for his family. Listen, it all will pay off in the end, I guarantee you. We all know Jesus as our Savior. If that's the case, we know him personally. There's going to be a day and time when there'll be a reunion in heaven with loved ones. There'll be a day and time where no more sickness, no more pain, no more medicine, praise the Lord. Anybody here tired of taking medicine? And so we'll own it all one day, and we'll reign with the Lord. Let me say this. After Noah got off the ark and his family, Noah did a couple things. Notice, if you would, chapter number 8 in verse number 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. Verse number 20, the first thing Noah did was build an altar. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. How about that? Because of Noah's gratitude toward Jesus and everything toward the Lord God, everything that he did, he said, guys, family, let's all just kind of hang out around here. There's something we need to do. We need to thank the Lord for what he did. Let's build this altar. And because of the motive of Noah's heart and the sacrifices that were taken and the sacrifices that were made, God said, it smells good to me. And, you know, I look inwardly whenever I'm studying, whenever I'm living my life outside of church. I'm always I'm ultra self-aware. Self-awareness. Is anybody in here? Some people they have great self-awareness, and other people do not. For example, if four people are sitting at a table, three of them have great self-awareness. They know that everybody is part of the group, and they give turns to talk. But one person, how I guess what, not letting anybody talk. They don't have any self-awareness. And it just, you know some of those people like I do. And so what we see here is Noah, he built this altar unto the Lord. Self-awareness was there, and it was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Let me mention something else. Not only there was an altar built, so we see Noah worshiped by making his offering on the altar, but we also see Noah failed. Noah failed. What do you mean Noah failed? Well, notice verse number 9, if you will. Verse number 9, I believe it is. Let's see, I had it marked. I just left a big chunk out of my first point as well, so y'all bear with me. For the sake of time, let me just give it to you. That's why you got to hide God's word in your heart. Does anybody know what Noah did? I mean, after he created this altar and the Lord was pleased, does anybody know what Noah did? What's that? Noah got drunk. How in the world? Why in the world? After everything God did for Noah, he planted a vineyard. He tended that thing. He made sure everything was ripe. Let it ferment, and Noah got drunk. You know, it's when it comes to the makeup of man and the fall of man ever since Adam, we can be pleasing the Lord in one moment, and we can be disobedient the next moment. Y'all know that's true. We got to keep a close grip on our life and our spirituality. I know I do. That's what I was saying a moment ago, and I got distracted with my own self, my own words, but I'm ultra self-aware. I'm always filtering through my head. Lord, am I pleasing you with what I'm doing today? Is this okay? But sometimes it can lead to depression if you're not careful. You get to a place where you feel like, well, there's nothing you can do to please the Lord, and that's not the truth. But back on point, Noah planted a vineyard, and he got drunk. You can go from obedient to disobedient just like that. In fact, many times after a victory will come a struggle. And so we better move on tonight. Noah, the number 8, this has to do with a new beginning. And we know that whenever the ark rested, that Noah and his family went out and they possessed everything. It was given to them. Noah, he worshiped, and then Noah failed. All right. Let's see here. Genesis chapter number 17. I meant to tell you, we're going to have a small Bible drill. Genesis 17. I've got to get us back into this stuff. This stuff is really good. The number 8 being used again. Genesis 17, verse number 12. All the male children of Israel were to be circumcised on the 8th day. Notice, if you would, Genesis 17 in verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. Verse 13, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So we see here that this the circumcision pertaining to the flesh, it was a covenant in the Old Testament that these were God's people. And so which gives us a new beginning. Deuteronomy chapter number, you don't have to turn there, but you jot the verses down. Deuteronomy 10 verse 16. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 6. These verses give a little different look on circumcision. These verses tell us that we need there needs to be a circumcision, a cutting away of the heart, spiritually. And so while at a certain time, that outward sign physically, it was a token of who they belonged to, basically. Well, the Bible says that there needs to be a circumcision of the heart. And you can go later and read those verses if you like. We've got a good bit to cover tonight. Deuteronomy 10, 16, Deuteronomy 30, and then verse number 6. Jeremiah 4, 4. Let's turn there right quick. Listen to this. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Listen to this. And take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. How about that tonight? He says, circumcise yourself. Cut away the junk that's in the heart, is what he's saying. And so the Bible speaks of spiritual circumcision, which is a person basically turning in their heart from uncleanness, and therefore this symbolizes purity of heart or a new heart. Jeremiah says there needs to be a circumcision on the inside. Cut that away. Give your heart to God, and you'll have a new beginning. Romans chapter number 2. Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Y'all give me a second. I need to get me a Kleenex. And so we see circumcision of the heart. All of this is just leading to that new beginning. What does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The day that you got saved, there was a circumcision of the heart. I believe it's Jeremiah as well that talks about how God will take away the stony heart and put in what, a heart of flesh or a new heart, something along those lines. And it's a new beginning. All right, now, number 8 there had to do with physical and spiritual circumcision. It was on the 8th day, physically, that this had to happen. Let me make sure. Yeah, on the 8th day of them being born. All right. What about David in the number 8? Does anything come to your mind immediately? David, King David, 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. It's been a while since we've turned to Samuel. I had so many places to mark. I didn't even try to mark anything. It ended up confusing me then. helping me. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 through 12. Listen to this. Don't know if we'll read them all, but we'll read some of them. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Boy, and it was the least likely. Verse 2, as we go down, is the story being carried out. I like verse 7. Listen to this. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Praise the Lord for that. He's looking for heart. Doesn't matter if big, tall, strapping man or big, tall, strapping woman. That don't impress God. God don't need that. He wants somebody who's willing to go. He wants somebody that's willing to serve. Verse number 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. A little pretty boy. He's pretty. And goodly to look at, to look to. Nothing wrong with that. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David was number 8. Y'all know that. 7 passed. David was number 8. And we see in this story that David was the 8th son of Jesse, who was anointed king and this was a new beginning for Israel. Although he didn't yet reign. He didn't yet serve as king, as it were, on the throne. He was a young man. Now, he was anointed. There's at least, in my study, and I found three times David was anointed before he came to be fully king. This time and 2 others. David, before he could be king, had to go through some things. David had to continue to watch those sheep, and we know that the lion and the bear, he protected his sheep. We know there was the case of Goliath. David faced Goliath while Saul and his men, big strapping men, all the armor they had, their knees were knocking. But David had such a confidence in God, he said, let me at him. Let me at him. He picked up those 5 smooth stones, only used one, sunk in Goliath's forehead, cut his head off and brought it back as a testimony that he is dead. Took his sword, put it in his tent. And so David fought lions and tigers and bears, so to speak. David fought giants. There was even a time later on down the road that Goliath had some brothers. David almost got killed, but he has some good men with him that helped him. And so finally the day came where David was king. And this anointing, we all have this anointing, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that empowers us for the journey. He's the one that helps us overcome obstacles. He's the one that if we yield to him, his anointing will flow, his power will flow, and the Lord will use us. And so we see that he's the eighth son, and he was the new king. Let me mention a couple more, and we'll be through tonight. Now, don't turn there now. You can go home and read it later, but Leviticus 8, we see here that the priests of Israel would begin their ministry on the eighth day, after 7 days of concentration. How about that? 7 days of concentration. It's been a while, Brother Don, since I've read Leviticus, but I know there's a certain part somewhere in there when it comes to this concentration that they were required to stay in the temple closed up. And maybe this is what it's talking about. I got to go back and look for myself. And I was thinking the last time, 4 years ago when we taught this, that if that was required in order to take their priesthood and serve, to be closed up in the temple for concentration for 7 days, what would happen if we came in here, locked the doors, and stayed for 7 days? Prayed, had Bible study. We hadn't fully decided about the food yet, if it's going to be if we're going to eat or fast. Depends on how it goes. But after 7 days, I just really sense and I feel like that having the world cut off in here, not out there, I don't know, maybe the Lord will give us fresh eyes and a new fervor to serve him. Because, you know, we're living in this world. We're not of this world, but we rub shoulders with the world. We encounter things in the world that are discouraging. What if we just went to church and stayed for 7 days? Well, that's what these priests did. Or at least in one part, that was part of it. The priests of Israel would begin their ministry on the eighth day after 7 days of concentration. This has to do with a new beginning, a new role, and that's Leviticus 8. Next, I got two more. Number six would have covered seven. In the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, listen to this. The word born occurs. Can anyone guess how many times in John 3? Eight times. Eight times. This conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus about being born again, the new birth, the word born is mentioned eight times, new beginning. I'm telling you, y'all already know it. The Word of God is just so closely knitted together. That's John 3. We'll read that later, find that out. And then lastly, tonight, we'll bring it to a close. If you're like me, I take this in small doses so I can chew on it. Number seven, in the Lord's conversation with the Samaritan woman, the word water occurs eight times, referring to the joyful life given through salvation. Then is the new beginning after salvation. And so that conversation, the word water is mentioned eight times, speaking of newness of life, joy, which comes through salvation. You see, Jesus having that conversation, he knew he was mentioning that word eight times. If it was all him that mentioned it or her with him, I got to go back and look at that. But he knew that he mentioned that word eight times because he had a specific reason for that, because it had meaning. What a blessing. That's John 4. You can read that. The number eight is found 80 times in the Bible. That's the lesson tonight, the number eight. New creation, new beginning. Anybody have any questions, any comments? It seems like we really enjoyed that study when we went over it. Again, it's more classroom style. which is needful. I enjoy teaching like that. And for some reason, I'm burning slap up tonight. I've been running wide open all day today. Anything at all before we dismiss? All right. Well, thank you for coming out. Be careful. Sounds like there's still rain out there. Everyone be safe. And we love you. Lord, thank you tonight for the faithful, Lord, that came. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the faithful that have watched tonight. Lord, no doubt we come together, not in vain. We come together on Wednesdays, Lord. Some come from work, some come from their homes, just various places. And what a blessing it is to have a quiet time of prayer. Lord, to have a simple word, a simple lesson from your word that can encourage us. Help us be reminded from biblical numerology, Lord, that you're in the details. God is in the details. And Father, tonight we know you give us a new beginning after salvation, but there may be someone here tonight that just wants a new beginning. They know they're saved. They just want a new beginning in the life that they live. And I'm thankful that every day we wake from sleep, that we have a new day, a new beginning. Help us all press toward the mark of the prize. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all are great. Thank you for your attention. You're dismissed.